Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
If your small business is booming, you might say,
cha-ching.
But you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we'll help your growing business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
The Juice on the Cues podcast is presented by BetOnline, your number one source for summer sports this season, from MLB to golf to NBA and the NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to you from your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts.
It is another edition of the Juice on the Cues podcast here on Believe and Rivals. Wes Chang alongside Brad Bierman. So much to talk about on this Wednesday, May 1st, 2024. Brad, we begin today with Syracuse basketball. It is the offseason, which means there's plenty of roster movement to talk about. Most recently, Syracuse freshman center William Patterson putting his name into the transfer portal after a week in which the Orange lost out on shooting guard Dakota Lafeu to Georgia, but also added Hofstra point guard Jaquan Carlo. So, Brad, what does Syracuse need to do in the portal to finish out its 2024-2025 roster?
Well, I think first, Wes, they need to hire a general manager with all this roster turnover each year. I really think that position is important in college hoops today. I really do. I think the program should zero in and find someone that could be called the general manager, perhaps of both the men's and women's program, because roster turnover is so prevalent each year. I kind of look at it this way. The last couple of years, as we've seen this, when everything has shaken out at the end of May or early June, Wes, I've always said, well, let's look at this trade, right? Syracuse traded, you know, Benny Williams, Quidair Copeland, Malik Brown, Justin Taylor, in exchange for who did they get back? And I did that last year. I remember and seeing, you know, guys coming into the program like Kyle Cuff and JJ Starling in the backcourt. And as I look at it this year, you know, I like the players that have come into the portal. I like what Coach Red's done so far and the staff. But, you know, there's some holes to fill. There's 10 scholarships. They have three to fill. And I see a player at each of the three main positions, the big man, the center, certainly the forwards, and another guard. But I like the mix that's come in. And, of course, we don't know how productive the freshmen are going to be. We know they're so talented. I mean, Donnie Freeman, we're so excited to watch him come into the program next year and whether or not Westry will ever play. So those three are kind of the intangibles. But I see needs for, you know, three different spots on the floor for what we can see here coming up in the month of May.
So I look at the roster right now, and I think the starting five looks like this. I think Carlos is going to be the starting point guard. I really like that pickup because he's a pass-first point guard. He's always looking for his teammates. I think the offense is actually going to look a lot better. Mintz was very talented, but maybe looked for his shot a little bit too much. So I think he was a little bit too pass-first. So I think Carlos is a great fit there. JJ Starling returning as a starting shooting guard. Chris Bell returning at that small forward spot. Now, I think Donnie Freeman will start at power forward. You have to have your McDonald's All-American rated 5 stars by Rivals, top 10 recruit in his class. I think you have to have him start there. And then Eddie Lampkin at center, the Colorado transfer. Then the second unit would be Kyle Cuff, Elijah Moore, Chance Westry, Jair Davis, and Nyheim McLeod. That's the two deep as it stands on paper right now. And I can see why Syracuse wanted to add LeFou, because Westry essentially hasn't played in 2 years. So it would be important to have that dynamic scorer off the bench. The other thing I think Syracuse needs is a project center, which is what Patterson was. I know a lot of people don't view that as a big time transfer or loss, but I think it is, because when you look at Lampkin and McLeod, they're going to be out of eligibility at the end of the 2025 season. So you're going to want that next center to be developed in the system and ready to play the following year. So maybe you take a flyer on a lightly recruited player to fill out the center position. And as for that extra wing spot, Syracuse, I know, is still mining the portal. One player I keep hearing about is Ken Evans Jr. from Jackson State. I think that spot has to be the top priority for Adrian Autry's, you know, offseason roster rebuild heading into this upcoming season.
I agree with you, Wes, because look at these three elements: three-point shooting, rebounding, and defense. I look at those three. So far, are you happy with what you see defensively from what's come in the portal? I am, and let's hope McLeod can get back to form. And as you say, let's get a player that can be developed as that third-string center. Rebounding, it's got to be there. I'd like to see another body. You know, Davis is a good pick, obviously, coming in from Delaware, great in that aspect. And, you know, three-point shooting. Chris Bell's a proven commodity. I guess J.J. Starling is, and Kyle Cuff, you could say. But, you know, I'd like to see more there. And I certainly agree with you. I think this might be one of the unsung roster moves of all, with Carlos coming over from Hofstra's at pass first guard, Wes. Really haven't seen that pure, you know, player giving out, you know, dimes in a while with Syracuse Hoops. So that's really exciting pickup. I agree.
So, Brad, let's move over to lacrosse. The ACC tournament is set, and Syracuse is the number 2 seed. They'll face off against third-seeded Duke in the semifinals. So if they win, they'll get the winner of Notre Dame and Virginia. And, Brad, I think if you're Syracuse, you have to like this matchup. The Orange and the Blue Devils faced off earlier in the season, and it was a dominant game as I've seen the defense play. The Orange crushed Duke 10-4. How do you see this game playing out with a potential rematch against Notre Dame looming in the championship game?
I certainly agree from a base matchup standpoint that this favors Syracuse. Duke, you know, obviously today played, when I looked over the roster of the schedule for the season, by far its worst game back on March 20th against Syracuse. And as you mentioned, the 10-4 SU win, scoring only 4 goals, something that hadn't happened in the program in approximately 15 years. And then I saw the same sort of Duke team at North Carolina in the season finale this past weekend. Took a long time to even show up mentally to get prepared for that game. Made it close in the fourth quarter, but by that time, Carolina at home and had enough of a lead to hold off the Blue Devils. So I'm wondering what kind of Duke team is going to come into this game in Charlotte, not too far from home, and also what kind of Syracuse team is going to come in after having the week off. Now, earlier in the year, they had time off, came back and played pretty strong. I do like this matchup from a face-off standpoint and defensively, and with Will Mark in the goal. And, you know, the other matchup, Notre Dame and Virginia, well, that to me is one of these tricky late-season college lax matchups, especially a conference game in this tournament. Sure, Notre Dame's been the number one team all year. We can, you know, defending champions and clearly the number one seed going into not only the ACC tournament, most likely the NCAA tournament. But I don't discount Virginia in this game either. Again, you just played them 6 days ago. This is a neutral field. These crazy things happen in the month of May in college lacrosse. So it'll be interesting. Notre Dame has, you know, Syracuse's number. Syracuse has Duke's number. They had gotten some help from the state of North Carolina, and they wanted X amount of tournaments to be played in the state of North Carolina moving forward to get visitors, to boost tourism and such. So you're going to see the ACC lacrosse tournament in Charlotte, through the rest of this decade. And to me, that kind of gives an advantage built into the Carolina schools. Their fans have an easy 2-hour trek there all the time. Other school, Virginia, somewhat close, Syracuse and Notre Dame flying in. So be interesting to see how that pans out. Syracuse won on this field against Johns Hopkins earlier in the year. So the Orange are familiar with American Legion Memorial Stadium. Should be a great matchup, great tournament.
So, Brad, first things first, before I get to the merits, you just mentioned that Syracuse is going to play every year in Charlotte, at least through the rest of the decade. I don't like that championship game being played in Charlotte. You know, the women's lacrosse team played the championship game against Boston College. They only had about 1,000 people for what is really the premier conference tournament championship game in college women's lacrosse. You'd expect better. I personally would rather see the home games for the higher seeds being played instead of on neutral turf. So that's first. I think that they need to move it out of Charlotte. I don't like that it favors the teams that are already in North Carolina, as you just said. So that's the first part. The second half is I do like this matchup. You know, the game, which was, by the way, played in front of 5,000 people at the JMA Wireless Dome, was his dominant performance, again, against a top three opponent that I've seen before. Syracuse forcing 19 turnovers, outshooting Duke by 6 on shots on net. So I think in terms of the way the bracket is laid out, I do like it. They could have had Virginia again. I think Virginia played them close and probably would be looking for a revenge game if they had slipped into that 4 seed. I do want to see Syracuse get another look at Notre Dame, because if they're going to make some noise in the NCAA tournament, all roads likely lead through the Fighting Irish. So to me, a good bracket for Syracuse as it prepares to head into the NCAA tournament.
I agree with some of your points. Others, I'm not so sure. It's really hard to have these tournaments at that top seed to plan logistically. But I agree with you. It'll be a litmus test here in Charlotte, because I wanted to say, you know, college lacrosse had great attendance this year, especially late in the season. Huge crowds. Now, Syracuse, 42,000 fans this year, by far the nation's leader. And we know that Syracuse is going to draw, like you mentioned, 5,000 for the Duke game in March. It will be interesting to see, can they crack into that low 1,000 or at least announced attendance in Charlotte for the future of that event. And I'd like to also see Syracuse get a crack at Notre Dame at West and see if they can beat the Irish after having trouble the last 3 seasons.
We're going to take a short break. And speaking of lacrosse, we will be joined by 2025 lacrosse defenseman commit and also 2025 quarterback commit Joseph Filardi on the other side. This is the Juice on the Cuse podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's brand new day toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria with a fragrance that feels like a tropical getaway for your senses. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
If your small business has a problem, you could say,
ugh, just my luck.
But you should say,
like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we'll help get you back in business. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Back on the Juice on the Cuse podcast, Wes Chang here with you. And last week, Syracuse football received a flurry of commitments. One of them was from 2025 quarterback Joseph Filardi, who also committed to the Orange for lacrosse back in September. We welcome him on the program now. Joseph, thanks for the time. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you? I'm thankful to be on here.
Yeah, Joseph, it's our pleasure. We'll get you started on this one. You've committed to play both football and lacrosse at Syracuse.
Can you talk about how that came to happen and what needed to take place between Fran Brown and Gary Gate to make that happen?
So I originally committed to Syracuse in September of 2023, which I was recruited for lacrosse, and I committed. So that was definitely really exciting. I fell in love with like the campus, and the coaching staff was great. And then I took a football visit this past March, and I talked to the lacrosse coach to see if it would be okay with me playing football. And then I mentioned it to the football coaches to see if I could play lacrosse and football, because they didn't know I was committed. So I mentioned it to them, and they said I could. So I took advantage of the opportunity and committed, which is very exciting.
So what will that look like logistically? Because lacrosse does start its practices toward the end of the football season.
So in the spring, I'll be focused like primarily on lacrosse, and then in the fall, I'll be focused primarily on football. The coaches will help like work it out, because they're very interactive and are on board with it. So it'll definitely be something we could work with and get it done.
So Joseph, we had to look this up, but the list of Syracuse football and lacrosse players goes like this: Jim Brown, John Mackey, Joe Ehrman, Jeff Lowe, and now Joseph Filardi. That's it. That's the list. So what comes across your mind when you hear a list like that of four and now five people?
It's definitely an honor to be recognized as one of five people, especially with Jim Brown. It's truly an honor to be able to add on the list at Syracuse, and I just can't wait to make a name for myself there.
Joseph, you're catching both programs at a good time. Clearly, both are on the upswing. Lacrosse is heading into this weekend as the number two seed in the ACC tournament, and football, there's a lot of optimism behind Fran Brown. So how do you see your careers going in both sports at SU?
I'm just going to put in all the work I can just to do whatever I can to just make the best of the opportunity I have in both sports. And I believe both programs are in a great spot right now with Fran Brown coming for football. I feel like he's really going to rebuild the program. And then obviously Gary Gate, John Ordana, Pat March are great coaches, which I love spending time with previously to when I committed for lacrosse. So I'm super excited about both sports, and I just can't wait to get there.
Joseph, kind of joking, kind of not. If you had to play a third sport at Syracuse, what would it be? Are you a star hoops player? Did you play soccer or run track growing up? What would be your third sport at Syracuse?
I mean, primarily I've just been like football, lacrosse. But I mean, the third sport I played basketball a little bit in middle school, so like maybe basketball, but I wouldn't say I'm like that good to play in
college. All right, fair enough, Joseph. And we'll get you out of here on this one. Tell us about the kind of defenseman you are in lacrosse, and then tell me about the kind of quarterback you are in the gridiron.
In lacrosse, I'd say I'm a good cover defenseman. I could push the ball in transition and make some plays. I definitely could. I'm up and down the field, and I'm just looking to help play team defense and just help my team win. And football, I would say I'm a dual threat quarterback who likes to extend the play and just move the ball down the field to score points.
Joseph, thank you so much for your time. Looking forward to seeing you in the fall and again in the spring at SU.
Yes, thank you. I can't wait. I appreciate you having me.
Joseph Filardi, ladies and gentlemen. And I go back to that list of five players who've ever done the football lacrosse combo. Just very cool to see Joseph do both sports. Kind of reminds me of Bo Jackson or Deion Sanders. We will take a quick break. We will wrap things up here on the Juice on the Cues podcast. And I'm Wes Chang.
We are back on the Juice on the Cues podcast on the Believe in Rivals Network with my longtime partner, Wes Chang. I'm Brad Bierman. And Wes, you know, the NFL draft concluded just over a week ago or so, and record crowd in Detroit, a really exciting event, except if you're a Syracuse fan, because for the second time in 3 years, zero Syracuse players were selected. But the good news is that is guaranteed. I'm going to guarantee you, Wes, that's going to change next year. Syracuse is going to have an NFL draft pick, and they're going to have a couple probably. In fact, the school on social media is promoting 17 players on the clock for 2025 draft in Green Bay. What a scene that's going to be next year outside of Lambeau Field and that whole shopping and entertainment complex they built. Incredible. And I think it's just a testament to what we've talked about all spring, Wes. The Fran Brown regime has brought in an unprecedented wave of talent that the program hasn't seen in this kind of 1-year cycle ever, certainly in the modern era of recruiting. And that's going to translate into players being drafted, not only in 2025, but every season after that.
So guys that I have on the clock, Fidel Diggs, the defensive line transfer from Texas A&M, Kyle McCord, I think if he has a great season, he can put himself in the conversation to be drafted. And then two holdovers, Justin Barron and Marlo Wax, they were discussed as guys that might jump or at least transfer to get more high name programs. And we'll see what happens with that. But I really like that they have actual talent. When you look at those 16 guys, maybe not all of them, like a Max Meng, probably not a guy that's going to go pro, at least not in the NFL ranks. But I really like the talent that's come in. And we'll just have to see what happens. But I agree, that streak is going to come to an end.
And I'd add OG too.
Oh, yes, of course. How could we forget about Aronde Gadsden, of course.
Yes.
And Brad, we started the show on NCAA men's basketball and the transfer portal. So let me bring this back full circle, because in 2019, think about where you were at that point, Syracuse guard Bryson Gedeine laced it up for the Orange for his freshman season. That started a very long, windy college basketball journey for Gedeine. He played two seasons at Providence, then two seasons at Fairfield. Well, we're heading into now the 2024-25 basketball season. Gedeine's still kicking around in the college ranks. He's now got a 6-year of eligibility that he's going to use, announcing that he's transferring to Oklahoma for his final year. He averaged 13.9 points, 3.0 rebounds, shooting 46.7% from three-point land in this past season at Fairfield. So, Brad, I was telling you this before, four schools in 6 years. What an interesting journey for Gedeine. What a world we live in with the transfer portal, Brad.
Isn't it great, Wes, to go to college for 5 or 6 years and live that fun lifestyle and get paid to do it? Wow. It's just incredible what the NIL and the transfer portal have done. And hey, more power to these kids. If it's what's best for them and they chart out their professional career, then so be it. But just incredible. What a life.
Yeah. There's this joke from the movie Tommy Boy that Matt D'Agostino and I always like to say, which is plenty of people go to college for 7 years. And then David Spade responds to Chris Farley. Yeah, they're called doctors. So I'll leave on that note.
That's it for us. For Brad Bierman, this is Wes Chang. You've been listening to the Juice on the Cuse podcast presented by Bet Online and Believe, and we will see you next time.